presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Hello, welcome back to our beginning of nine.
9 hour beginning of.
Thank you. Of the FUBAR Radio sponsored chocolate comic relief Geekatorium nugget biscuit for your brain.
We lost Paul.
He's going down. He's going down. Pull up.
No, he's been like this for the last 3 hours.
Three months.
Some would argue my life.
Yeah, well.
Some. Mostly my parents. Yes, welcome back to this. It's our non-stop 27-hour podcast-a-thon, raising money for comic relief. As the jingle just said, if you'd like to donate, please do. You can go that at www.my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. If that's too long for you to remember...
Catchy.
It's not.
It's got a real zing.
Go to geekatorium.net or foobarradio.com and the links are all there. You'd be a fool not to donate. If you've got any topics, go #27topic and give us some things to talk about. Or if you just want to get involved, you can go to just hashtag us on 27HRpod. And if you're even willing to chat and get in touch, we have a phone number, amazingly. That is 0330-223-0200. I had so much trouble reading that number right then.
Paul's eyes have gone. He's lost his eyes.
So in the studio with me is you, sir.
Eli Silverman, hello.
You, sir.
Ash Frith, hello.
You, sir.
Stuart Laws.
He's back. Stuart Laws back.
He's back. And finally...
Nick Revel.
Oh! And we're at 4 o'clock. The 4 o'clock... there's no special time to call 4 o'clock
there's
in the morning.
There's a lovely song called 4 o'clock in the morning, though.
Is there?
Can't remember the artists, but it's...
Do you know how it goes?
It goes, 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
It's lovely, I'd like to think...
There's a country song that's 4 in the morning and what's more, the morning just brought out the heartache in me or something like that. Is it George
They're always
Jones?
So upbeat, yeah. aren't they, country
they
songs?
They are, country
really
western
are.
Songs.
Mm. Yeah.
It's weird. There's this Dolly Parton song called Cracker Jack about her dog, right?
Yeah.
And it's really stupid. Cracker Jack. And he was great. Like like that.
I bet it ends by her shooting.
No, no. There's no mention of it dying or anything. It's just his, but her best friend, Cracker Jack.
Nothing wrong with
he
that.
He was great. Like, in the past tense. I don't know. I may have been tired or something at the time. I was listening to it, and it really choked me up, man. She's great. Dolly Parton, fantastic singer.
Yeah. Yeah,
and songwriter.
I was not expecting that. I've got to be honest. I wasn't expecting that.
Expecting him to say, "That was shit."
That bluegrass album that she made early 2000. That I think she cut it in New York, but it's just like you know, very very
just the guitar and
sparse
yeah.
production values, and just you know, getting back to proper roots and that. I mean, her voice has always been great, but again, it's one of those things where you're kind of seduced by the image of somebody, and you know, either positively or negatively, and you know. Sort of have a gut reaction to that kind of against that kind of sort of tinsely sentimental country stuff, but you know the essence of it is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing what she's achieved considering she only works office hours.
Oh, don't get it. I've seen 9 to 5. I saw the musical 9 to 5.
You'll be seeing 9 to 5 on this very podcast going forwards.
Stop reminding me of the impending future. It's not good for me.
It's going to be great.
I'm living in the now. It's all about now.
Right, good.
So, Stuart.
Yeah.
What have you got for us?
What have
Inspire us with chat.
I wrote a song called Natterjack Toad. Sounds a bit like Cracker Jack.
Does. Is it upbeat? Will it choke
yeah,
him
really
up?
It's really upbeat. Like, it's the most stupid thing. You know when you're driving around and you're trying to stay awake, like I will be doing in about 45 minutes, and you just start yelling stuff out just to keep yourself going? I did that once, and then it turned into a song. And then I told my friend, I've written this thing. It might be mad. And then within an hour, he'd recorded some music for it, and so I had to... lay down, you know, he laced the track, I locked the flow.
Nice.
What is a natterjack toad?
A natterjack toad is just sort of an ugly looking toad.
Very isn't... rare.
Yeah.
You get them up in Lancashire, on the near Fylde, I think. There's a sort of particular kind of
What's their habitat? Do they burrow?
Sandy. Yeah, sandy dunes.
Sandy.
Particular kind of sandy dunes.
You're listening to comedy radio station, FUBAR Radio.
I suddenly drifted to the point where I didn't realise whether that was real or whether we were all being surreal.
Well, who knows?
It's absolutely real. Jenny, if you want to bring it up, I'll send you through the link and you can maybe play it later.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You
know, that's awesome.
In my mind, the happiest I've ever been is when a friend of mine who's got twins or 2 years old sent me a video of them singing along to the song.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
and
got it.
A real nice feeling.
That's fantastic.
You've made it.
Yeah. And that's it. I don't care about, you know, doing 70 quid to open in... I don't care about that.
Yep. Yeah, those are the kind of things that sustain you, aren't they? Those little moments of real artistic achievement. Yeah, absolutely.
The constant poverty and stress, long time on the road. It's all worth it.
It's my dream that one day...
2 year-olds singing your song. That's got to
my dream that one day two-year-olds will be telling my cock jokes. finally.
We learned it off Teletubbies. Yeah, X-rated.
X-rated Teletubbies.
Do you know what, mental note, don't try and be funny at 4 a.m.
Sam Wills, the boy with tape, he has got this brilliant theory about In the Night Garden and how that is purgatory and all the people in it, I can't remember all the characters, but the main guy in it is dead. Like, he's dying or dead. Christ. So he's in purgatory, and like the Tombly Boos are like his children who he's left behind. His wife is there, and he's got this in-depth theory. It's incredible, honestly. It's really dark, but basically, yeah, he's dead, it turns out. Macapaka, I think he's constantly cleaning and like trying to like maybe sort out the last remaining things in his life. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like constantly trying to get things in order and put things right.
This is a show from the same production company as Rosie and Jim.
Honestly, have a conversation with him, and he's got tape on his face most of the time, but when he hasn't got tape on his face, if you speak to him, you will go, shit, that all makes absolute sense.
But you can't break that to a child watching it.
He told his two-year-old.
Really?
Yeah.
And he doesn't like his kids?
He loves his children deeply, but he wants them to know the truth.
But fairy tales, resonate.
That is a good point.
You know, primal anxieties and developmental stages in...
What's that Disneyfication of the Grimm... the Grimm Brothers story?
Yeah, exactly. You know? A horrific story.
Because isn't it... Can I just ask something?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the brothers Grimm, right?
Yeah.
And their stories are Grimm.
Yeah.
Is that where the word comes from?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is. And also Gory comes from...
Edward Gorey.
Edward Gorey, the cartoonist, is it?
I was surprised that the word sinister meant left.
Left-handed.
Yeah.
Left-handed.
We listened to the same podcast recently, did we?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I learned it from watching the film Sinister.
Oh, I listened to, again, Stuff You Should Know last week, and they did Why Are Lefties Wrong.
You're going to tell your son, no school for you, here's a bunch of podcasts.
I have to say that I learned it from my Latin primer when I was doing Latin.
You always have to put a Latin primer on first so that the full coat sticks.
And then you give it a full coat. The rest of the languages.
He will listen to podcasts. The Geekatorium offer a wide selection of podcasts that he will be listening to.
One about movies and one about crap.
And cocks.
We don't have a lot of cocks in our podcast.
Oh, well, I've been on it 4 times, so I think you do.
Stand corrected.
Does anyone know what this is?
Yes, I do. It's a spacer. That is for like a wedging something, so you'd have a bunch of them. Like if you were installing a window.
Top class radio.
Right.
Yeah, it's a small yellow piece of plastic. You'd use that to like lift something up or put a little wedge in it.
Thank you very much.
And up next, describing things in this
you
room.
You can't see.
We're running out of things.
Listen, I already did like a sinister rabbit noise.
You did. It was a little sniff, wasn't it?
Yeah. A left-handed rabbit.
No.
Yes.
By the way, I'm just checking here. Grimm. It's Old English of Germanic origin. So it. I think the Grimm in their name would have been derived from Grimm.
Their name was derived from that word.
Rumpelstiltskin, like he ends up, he destroys the world. I think originally in the story, he like causes a terrible earthquake. He's so angry at being
stamping
and stamps,
and he also in the 90s released the song Inside.
He did do that.
90s references.
And in Cinderella, when the two ugly sisters are trying to get the crystal slipper to fit on their feet, they cut off one of them cuts off her heel. to try and get it into
wow.
the...
Wow.
And then the other one cuts off her toes.
Do you think that's going to be in the new Kenneth Branagh interpretation?
I think it probably... I
oh,
hope
I'd love
so.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what happens? Sorry, at the end of the, when Cinderella and the Prince are walking out of the church, the ugly sisters are there as well, and these crows come down and peck out their eyes.
Crikey. Just to stick it in.
Just before they go into the big musical number.
Yeah, because that was the other thing now. I saw the trailer for Kenneth Branagh's Disney's Cinderella.
Is it like live action Cinderella?
It's literally a live action version of the cartoon show, because Disney have gotten into the habit of doing that now, where they're making live action, like Jungle Book's another one, Jon Favreau's doing that, with Bill Murray playing Baloo.
Yes.
Bill Murray
That's
will be singing.
Casting, isn't it?
What is that, as a bear?
Yeah. It's all CGI. But yeah, they'll be doing songs from it. But the trailer for Cinderella, they've added political subterfuge into the story, where it's not just a simple thing. Yeah, exactly. It's not just, you know, a romantic story about a girl who had been put upon and finds a true princess. It's now about keeping Cinderella in the kitchen because she will politically change the landscape if she marries this prince, and you've got to stop it. And it's just
Well, they've got to expand it, don't they?
They don't. The beauty of those stories is its simplicity.
Yeah, I've always thought those fairy tales lacked a certain
political
element.
Intrigue.
I want a courtroom drama in one of those. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
I want the cobbler and the elves mixed with a little bit of House of Cards.
So you've got the giant going, he climbed up my beanstalk.
Yes, that
was,
that's
it
right.
It was signposted, clearly.
Yeah. Jack and the Beanstalk, courtroom drama. Jack is eventually put down, not put down, but, you know, put away for trespass.
Tom Hanks defending the giant.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe. The
this
giant's
has got
the
Oscar
hero.
Written all over it. Cumberbatch as some sort of...
Yes.
He would be,
as
I would
beans.
Cast him as the Beans.
As the Beans, yeah. Yeah. Sean Bean.
Yeah. Just in it. You just had to get Sean Bean in it.
Sean Bean, but he will die.
Yeah, unfortunately. That poor guy.
Come on, Sean.
How
many days shooting this
that
week?
Poor guy. That poor guy.
When his agent phoned up.
Not right, yeah, fair enough. But it is like...
That poor multi-millionaire successful movie actor.
In terms of his on-screen... He always plays villains. He always plays people who die.
Oh, shed a tear for Sean Bean.
I just like people being cast against type.
I don't think Sean...
gives a shit about my opinion.
Yeah, I get it. But I don't think he can handle it. I think he's got a very sort of... You know, it was Gandalf. What's he called?
Ian McKellen.
He said, like, most actors can do one thing really well, and if you're really lucky, you can do two things really well.
So if I was Sean Bean and said, you die really well, I don't know if I'd take that as a compliment too well, frankly.
He wouldn't.
I'll tell you what you can't do, football films. Have you seen that monstrosity?
No, I sports films don't appeal to me. So football
Rocky?
Films.
Rocky, not Rocky.
No, Rocky.
I thought you said Rookie.
Raging Bull.
Rocky.
Oh, all right. That's not so much a sports film.
Major
is
League.
It, you know.
Major League.
No, but I will give A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Cool Runnings.
Bend It Like Beckham. Come on, that's a classic.
I've never seen it.
I would have put money on you loving Major League. You know, the Charlie Sheen.
I've never
film.
Seen it.
Friday Night Lights.
Never seen it.
Really?
Yeah. What's that one?
Coach Carter.
John Carter.
Not Carter.
We've already
Mars.
Had this. John Carter. He thinks he's a better film than The Shining. We've had this already.
I like Bad News Bears.
Okay.
That's good, because it's about a bunch of kids who swear and drink beer.
What's that one with Bruce Willis, and it's like a quite hard-hitting thriller? Yeah, Saturday, Last Saturday?
Last Boy Scout.
The Last Boy Scout, and that's about American football, right?
Yeah. It's got a good scene where the guy runs, shoots all the other players and then scores a touchdown and then shoots himself in the head.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was what you call a sports movie.
Dark Knight, where is it? Which one?
Dark Knight Rises with the
football. Because they've got the American football, so that's a sports film.
The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Whole 9 yards.
Any Given Saturday.
So now we've just resorted to listing
films. Sorry, I was close.
We are listing films.
Let's list sport films.
The Great Arsenal Stadium Mystery.
This sporting... Oh, yes, that's a cracker.
Is that from the 30s?
1930-something.
Is that real?
That was that's
an impressive pull.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know. It's not like I don't like sport films. It's just on a list of genres, it's... Low.
What's at the very, very top of the films that you watch most of all?
My I like supernatural stuff, I think. Yeah.
I've never got that from you. I've not.
No.
I've never picked up that line.
I'm obsessed with things I know I aren't real.
Have you seen a film? You might have heard of it. It's called Ghostbusters.
It's out next year, isn't it? I don't know. How can I have seen a film that isn't out yet? I've never heard of this massively important film to my life that we're bringing up apropos of nothing.
Do you know what Paul said at one point?
Oh, here we go.
Just want to recap this.
Are you writing down what this poor man is saying?
The Gannonisms, yeah. I have
a problem with...
Gannonisms. No, the best one so far tonight is when he said, only about an hour in, he said, my ignorance proved me wrong.
Well, that's
I didn't realise that was a sensitive nice, pad. I've drawn a picture of a cock and balls on that pad.
He said also, on that subject...
Yeah, what did you say?
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Sorry.
He said, we...
Yeah, where have you pulled that from?
What are you doing?
I've been here 2 hours. You haven't done
any noises.
I didn't know that you
You've
had that.
You've got noises.
About you.
I don't... I can.
What does 8 do?
I'd like to know.
Press
what
button
do.
8.
Nothing. What does that red button do?
I don't know. I'm afraid of touching that.
Oh, my goodness. That's actually a genuine red button.
There is genuine red button.
I don't know.
I don't want to... saying don't touch it.
The producer's very visible.
And then I suddenly feel like, Wile E. Coyote.
It's a red button underneath a proper, like, plastic cover like you would have with a nuclear missile launch.
Yeah.
24.
Well, if nuclear weapons
please,
are...
Please, please, let's do it, please. He also said...
Oh, God.
We need to be on our balls.
Sometimes we do. Another sporting reference.
And when he was trying to get people to donate, which, by the way, if you're listening, please do.
Please do.
Please.
He was trying to say something about there's always money in your pocket, but he said there's always room in your pocket for a few coins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's...
I wish I...
I don't think that's too... By the phone.
No, I should have started with that and then gone
and
to
worked
my ignorance
up to,
proved me wrong.
Yeah. There is no, I've got no coins. No coins.
That's like a haiku, isn't it? My ignorance proved me wrong.
It's, well, the first line of a haiku.
That's great, yeah.
Paul?
What do you think about ignorance, Paul? Tell us
what. But curiously, I was proven wrong by my ignorance. If you put it in, it sort of seems a bit... It's almost logical that way around. Whereas
I thought that sort of sums up my parenting generally is that, like, I am so ignorant that I will parent my son so badly just by lack of knowledge that he will grow up incorrectly and I will have been proven wrong by my ignorance.
But then again, that's pretty much probably true of everybody, isn't it?
Exactly. I'm going. Oh, noise.
Ignore.
I'm a terrible dad. I'm a good dad.
That went strangely off on a weird tangent.
The weird thing is, my son goes to school and he he's.
There's nothing weird about that. You should be proud of that he does that.
He's 27.
Oh, well, fair enough.
No, he goes into school and he, like, questions things, like, with the teacher. So they said, someone said to him the other day, someone's rabbit or something had died. So he said to the the teacher said that the rabbit had gone to heaven, which it didn't.
Yeah.
And then he's sorry, I mentioned rabbits again. And then so he said, the rabbit went to heaven, and the teacher went, well, some people believe that, yes. He said, so do dogs go to heaven? And the teacher said, yeah, some people believe that. Cats, do they go to heaven? Yeah, again, some people believe that. He went, what about the dinosaurs? Did they go to heaven? And the teacher went, well, yeah, maybe. He went, right, so heaven is just people being chased around by dinosaurs. Yeah, great logic. Good
work. Yeah, it's true. Animals should be allowed up in heaven.
Yeah.
Just as much as anyone else.
Exactly.
Should it exist.
What about parasitic wasps?
Yeah.
Do they go to heaven?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, mate, you've had enough. Get out.
What about dogs? Do all dogs go to heaven?
Only the ones voiced by Burt Reynolds, I seem to remember.
Good.
Any animal from those blue cartoons, American Tail.
Yeah.
Five All Goes Up.
We're naming films again.
Yeah. Eli's so good at pulling us back.
I just wanted to, as we've got like three other people in the room,
hello,
Paul, go back to this pizza that I've invented get a second opinion.
Here comes pizza
on the name. This pizza is what I actually order when I get pizza.
Yeah.
Black olives, anchovies, pepperoni, and jalapenos.
That's awful.
So it's your opinion. It's delicious. But what should that be called?
It does have cheese and tomato.
Yeah, and,
as well,
and the base cheese and tomato. Okay. Yeah.
So it's black olives, jalapenos,
pepperoni, and anchovies.
So you've got
black la 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 la.
I don't know what I've got.
Richard Sandling said a Mexiterranean.
He did. But actually, Richard is Mexiterranean. Like, that is his ethnicity. I would call that a.
So a bloody mess.
So what's the? So it's got anchovies. So
it's got black, the fish and also the pig.
Black anal pep gel.
Black and pep gel. Yeah.
I think I said black anal.
Anal. Let's get rid of the J. Black pep anal.
The abyss.
The abyss. That's good. Yeah. That's much better.
Because if you're ordering that, something's gone wrong.
Never ask for a black pep anal. Because you're getting something else.
Paul, you got something to say?
No, that's the problem. I'm trying to think.
I'm getting my second wind officially.
That's
now.
Great. That's great.
Have I got a mission to go on?
Do you want to do that now? Come back before five.
But yeah, I guess I could.
How about you just go to the far end of the haunted busworks building with this, right?
See if you can find some ghostly activity out there.
Well, that was the mission.
Is that the mission? Genuinely,
yeah.
The mission.
Is it? Is this an old busworks then?
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, there's no ghosts, and then three come on.
Yes. Yes.
Nice. It's good.
Oh, I need.
It's 4:24, and we are nailing it.
We've got the bus jokes.
There's a joke every hour, guaranteed for the next 19 hours here on FUBAR.
I've got.
Now. That brings us back to
the thing you were going to say about the Who.
2001. Yeah. How can you link 2001 to the Who?
No.
And particularly the album from which that comes.
Tommy.
Who's Next? That is from.
Yes.
And the cover of Who's Next is the Who having pissed against Dave.
Oh, it's a monolith.
Stone monolith.
The monolith.
Which is the monolith that they used.
Same monolith.
From the set of. Of 2001.
Because they filmed 2001 in Britain, didn't they, of course? In Elstree.
Yeah. So there you go.
That is something I didn't know, and which I will remember till the day I die.
I also found out the other day that, did you know that Kubrick apparently destroyed all of the footage that was cut from the film? So there is no way it can ever be...
There's no offcuts of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It can never be... Paul, all right?
No, he's not all right.
That's the reaction that Kubrick made when he realised he burnt the wrong footage.
Yeah, imagine. But yeah, so there can never be... He didn't want there to ever be a sort of a director's cut.
Well, that's good.
After his death.
That's what all directors should do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So there is no other footage of that. Which
it's
I think
your vision, you know.
Yeah. But then he, you know, maybe someone should have done that with Eyes Wide Shut. They could have...
Listen, if there's anyone who predeemed themselves, it's Kubrick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't do anything terrible.
I mean, Eyes Wide Shut wasn't an absolute turkey, was it? It was just not as
good as all the brilliant ones he'd made.
It was an interesting film, more than a film that I liked. I like watching it. You appreciate it.
I thought it was touched with brilliance in places.
Much like me. I'm touching myself.
I'll take your word for that, I think, at this point.
What's your favourite Kubrick, then?
Rubik's Kubrick.
It's got to be 2001.
Probably Full Metal Jacket, but only the first half of it. Because the second
half Metal Jacket.
Yeah, Half Metal Jacket. I liked it. It was the first one I saw of his, and I know it's
this
always...
what I mean about Paul and his fucking film criticism.
What are you now telling me that Full Metal Jacket is shit?
No.
Well, what then?
Just the way you love trash.
Why can't I celebrate the things that most people don't hold in high regard?
It's fine. I love you for it.
You don't.
I do.
All right, I love you too.
Okay, well, I'm going to go record some ghosts.
Right, so you've got a little thing here. There's a record button. Okay. You press it once to record and you press it again to stop. Just go down the far end.
I'll just do a little report.
You just go, any ghosts are here, speak, leave a gap. And just see what happens. 15 minutes and then come back, yeah?
Okay.
All right, there you go. You've got to try and get a ghost.
So I just press the red button.
Yeah.
I've got a bad feeling he's going to find one. A good or bad feeling.
Ask for George.
Well, there's plenty of people dying on the bus testing that was going on downstairs, as we heard earlier.
Bus testing?
They tested the bus.
Yeah, that's what they did here.
This whole building was a big bus making place.
Yeah.
But they weren't buses, these are coaches.
Uh-huh.
Horse-drawn coaches.
Oh, wow.
And this whole thing is on a massive incline.
Oh, that's why it's on an incline?
Yeah.
So and they could roll these coaches down the...
Yeah. And they tested the coaches. 1 in 10 would fall apart. They had the cobbles. Mm-hmm. And then they'd get, you know, people... Wow. Riders, they called them, to get on the coach. And 102 of them died.
What? Over the course of how many years they did those
50
tests?
Years. Yeah.
20 minutes.
Terrible.
Put them all on one coach and ran it into the wall.
Bloody terrible afternoon.
And allegedly a ghost poked Justin Lee Collins right in this very room.
Did he? Oh, no, I'm on this. Yeah, that's fine.
That's the great thing about the comedy industry. It's like you want to go, but then you think, no, what about my career? I don't want to really knock too many people off. Just in case. Just in case. But I think, you know,
a good guy.
Unless you want to roll in Rock of Ages, I think you're safe.
No, I'm not going to do it.
No?
No.
All right, so you off on your little ghost hunting adventure?
Yeah.
All right, 15 minutes, come back.
Good luck, man.
Right, we're going to take a little bit of break, a bit of a song, and then we'll come right back. It's 4:30, and it's time for John Cleese, the 1984, that's not been labelled right. Yeah, it's the Rhubarb Tart song, anyway.
Fubar Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. Fubar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
And it is 4:32 a.m. and I'm here still, just about hanging on to existence with the fantastic Stuart Laws. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, I'm all right.
Yeah. So, topics.
I didn't want to ask you how you were because I sort of can physically see how debilitated you are.
It's strange. It's because I get these little wins of energy and interest when the topic gets going. But you know when you have to start or one's ending? That's when my brain gives up.
Okay, well, Eli's going off hunting a ghost, right? I've got a real good ghost theory.
Go hit me with it.
Okay, so you know in Three Men and a Baby?
Yes.
The famous ghost story from that film.
I have aware of it, yeah.
So, for anyone who doesn't, the belief is that in the film's apartment, there is a ghost of a boy that appears outside the window, and this is a spooky, crazy thing. But however, it was filmed on a stage, and it was revealed that the ghost was in fact the cardboard cutout of Ted Danson.
That's
just
right,
outside the window. Now, for me, that's great. What a great, fun story. But what if every ghost throughout history was a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson? Spooky, right? That would be more spooky than a real ghost.
That footage you see of, like, Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a ghost. It's like, no, that's just someone with a weird, awkward standout cut-up of John Danson. Oh, my God.
John Danson.
Oh, it's happening.
Because it would suggest that that there was a time traveller going around putting Ted Danson cardboard cutouts throughout
everywhere.
History.
Well, maybe ghosts are time travellers.
Ooh.
Using their temporal disturbance to break in to our world as a fuzzy, spooky, shimmery, shiny, glorious...
Paul.
Beautiful briny sea. Go on.
Paul, I'm back from the ghost hunt.
Well done, man.
You went 4 minutes
it's
ago.
It's not going to work.
Why?
As a bit, it's not going to work.
Why?
Because Eli got scared. I had to leave.
Did you get scared?
I went down there.
Yeah.
Down the end there. And I looked through the glass into the darkened corridor beyond.
Saw your reflection and ran.
I thought it was my reflection, but it was some guy in a... I think it's a guy. I mean, it was male. It was some guy... It was a guy in a reflective jacket.
Yeah.
Just sort of bumbling around in the dark. I don't know what he was doing.
They're protecting Mark Watson. That's what they're doing.
Is there a lot of threats to Mark Watson?
Yeah.
There might be. We just don't know, do we, at this point?
Yeah, I've taken on a sponsored threatened Mark Watson for 27 hours.
Oh, that's you, is it?
You shouldn't have been doing it, but there's nothing you can do because it's for charity.
I'm making so much money. It's ridiculous. And actually, I'm coining a lot of it into my own pockets because there's always room in a pocket for a few quid.
Come on, everyone. There's always room in your own pocket for a few coins.
There's always a little bit of room.
How many threats are you making an hour now?
I'm up to about 30, 33, I think.
33, that's pretty good for a threat rating. What's that? Have you, like, you do this every year?
Yeah, but not normally a Red Nose Day. So it's nice actually this year to be doing it for charity and not just as a hobby.
Is it always Mark Watson or is it?
Yeah, always Mark Watson.
He's fine with that, is he? Or?
Yeah, well, the way I see it is it's if you get a beef with another far more successful comedian, mm-hmm. then eventually they have to comment on it publicly and suddenly your profile's through the roof.
It's right up there.
Yeah,
it's very
and you're getting booked to open, maybe even, if you're lucky, do this slot just before the headliner at a gig in Morecambe on Sea.
Well, I believe that is working for Andrew Lawrence quite well at the moment. He seems to be doing all right with the whole upsetting people to further his career. Maybe I've got that wrong. Maybe he might have made a bit of an error.
I don't think he has, because I think he's selling more tickets than he's ever sold.
Really? I mean, I honestly don't know it's how incredible. His career has gone since he decided to voice opinions.
There's no bad publicity, let's just say that.
No, but it goes back to what we were saying about, you know,
pre-9/11.
No, not...
Redemption.
Redemption. Redemption.
Redemption, sorry, I was in close.
That, can you enjoy a comic if you know his politics?
I tell you what,
of course
I don't.
You can.
I'm going to say, like, I've worked with him a few times.
Yeah.
And I think he's bloody lovely, and I don't think that is his politics. Although there's no excusing the things
he said. Yeah.
But I don't think it is. And like, if you read his tweets and stuff, every one of them now is like being is
a bit
pushing.
UKIP.
No, not being a bit UKIP. No, just like I'm all of a sudden I go, oh, that's what you're doing, is it? That's the thing
that's
you're
the
doing.
Thing.
You're
going to
be
bit.
Constantly like he does things about anti-feminist. He's doing it all the time, and I don't agree with it. But he's clearly doing. If you just look at 2 days of his tweet, you'll go, oh, you're courting controversy on almost every tweet that you do. I've met him, and he was bloody lovely when I met him, and I don't necessarily believe that this is... I don't believe that's his beliefs.
Why is he doing it, then?
Well, I had a theory that he's doing that Joaquin Phoenix thing where he's going to spend a few years being mad and weird.
But genuinely, I think, you know, his profile has raised hugely because of this.
I have just been informed that Andrew Lawrence has blocked the Geekatorium.
Wow.
Well, I don't even believe I've ever had an opinion on him online.
No, well, it might be because I said all those things you said about him.
What, just now?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't think I've ever tweeted from
Andrew
the Geekatorium.
If you're listening, hello.
Call in, Andrew.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and feelings about what's going on inside your brain.
You know, I was gigging with him the day that he wrote that ill-advised article. I was gigging with him in Kingston, and he didn't turn up. Can I show you a quick picture of my... I know this is radio and everything. Can I show you a picture of my comedy beef?
Yes.
Because you've obviously got Mark Watson. This is mine. This is me having a fight on stage with a man dressed as the Cookie Monster. I believe the real Cookie Monster. That happened.
I am just going to... For the Twitterati, I am going to take a picture of you so people can see it in context of what's going on. Lean in a little bit for me, please, sir. And...
It's a genuine picture.
Click.
Me wrestling on the floor with the Cookie Monster. I blurred out his face.
Who started it?
I don't know if that picture of you holding that picture is any better than the picture you're holding.
Oh, God, let me...
It's very much a cuckoo gachu kind of a phrase. I'm going to put it up online anyway.
Ah, of course you are. But no, I was. I did a private gig, like a private function, and this one guy... Dressed as the Cookie Monster. No one else was in fancy dress. He was just sitting there in the front row.
Great prank.
But genuinely, it was such a bad gig that it hadn't kind of registered that there was this guy dressed in fancy dress. That's how bad it was. And it was like, and then he just midway through my set jumped up and wrestled me to the floor.
Wow.
And then my mate, who was also on the bill, was taking pictures rather than...
Yeah, you take photos there first rather than... Yeah. Definitely. Like, that is what I would be doing.
Well,
straight away, I've got to get photos of this. If he gets punched, well, at least I have photos.
He throttled me. The guy said he's trying to throttle me.
You know what I sometimes like to...
See, that's genuinely terrifying to me because of what's happened. So
I was hoping to try and get some kind of, you know, post-war stress thing going on where he's like, you're beginning to see it. PDST? What's it called?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
When I go to a party, what I quite like to do sometimes, brackets, I've never actually done this, but in my head I think it's a funny idea, is turn up in fancy dress and then pretend that someone told me it was fancy dress.
That's not a bad idea.
It's like a triple reversal.
Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah, no one knows what this, like, inception of pranks.
Yeah.
Hang on, who's getting pranked here?
So what I like to do, it's very similar to that. I go not in fancy dress, but pretend that someone told me that it was fancy dress, but that they told me that it wasn't fancy dress.
Hang on, I might have the sound effect for that, actually.
Can we all hold that thought?
So I didn't follow you there, Ash.
Yes.
We've done it.
Oh, that was the wrong one.
No. So you go to... No, hang on. So...
No, it's not the right one either.
Paul, can you stop that?
No.
There he comes. Someone please help him. Paul, we've lost Paul.
We lost Paul at 3:30.
So
Paul,
Ash,
left the building.
You sometimes go to open brackets, not really, but this is something you've thought about doing.
Just
close then. Brackets.
Yeah. Go non-fancy dress.
So you're not in fancy dress?
No, but you're pretending that someone sent you in fancy... They said it's fancy dress, but you're also pretending that they didn't. They told you not to.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like double think.
Yeah, it's triple.
Yeah.
Triple.
But then people are like, wow, this guy's pretty cool. I might have a chat with him later at this party.
People will come up to you and go, you've got some balls of steel, because you're the one who's come not dressed as something, who came dressed as something, who's come not dressed as something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that is how you stand out from a crowd.
Yeah. I've got balls of steel.
Fucking hell, man.
It's the sentient soundboard.
I think that's the way forward. That's how I've slept with over one woman, and that's how I got. That's how I got
slept over a woman.
Yeah, I definitely have
floating a few inches. I
lured them mainly by going non fancy dress to
your fancy dress mind games.
Yeah. You can lull a woman into being with you by just
pretending that you're not going in fancy dress somewhere.
That you are going, not going. Yeah.
Oh, what you mean? The theme of the fancy dress is not being in fancy dress.
Well, that's not what I meant, but that's a bloody good idea, really.
That'd be good. Yeah. We're having a party. It's fancy dress. Oh, what's the theme? Not fancy dress.
Like you've forgotten. That's the
theme. You forgot.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the inception of fancy dress parties.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a Fabergé egg of lust.
So everyone just comes in normal clothes, but it's fancy dress.
Yeah, you've come. It's fancy
that's the
dress.
Theme.
Come as you've forgotten.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Come as you've forgotten. Terrible Nirvana hit.
Talking of terrible Nirvana hits, Paul.
Yes.
Is it a chance that we could get a little Nana Jack Toad action on the radio?
We might be able to do it via the laptop because we might not be able to wire it into anything now. And
we've got the producer is awake now. Our producer is coming in.
Literally, could not be prouder at this moment.
I'm so excited about this.
Okay, Nat Jack Toad is going to get radio play. I'm going to just tweet this.
Is this going to be the biggest audience that it's had?
Okay, let me tell you this. It is screaming up on 1,000 views at the moment. Wow. When I say screaming up, it's currently stuck on 992. Oh, and a check every day.
This will push it over. We must have at least eight people listening.
Come on, eight people. Nat Jack Toad, youtube.com/ Turtle Canyon Comedy.
I have got the song right here. I just need to find a way to play it. How long is it? I can plug it through here. Let me just...
It's only 43 minutes.
Let me just make sure it's as loud
It's only 43 minute song. It's 38 stanzas and I don't know, George Constanza. Makes an appearance.
All right, let me do all of this and see if I can get it working. Here we go. Right.
Okay, so Nat Jack Toad. It's just a song about a Nat Jack Toad. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, we can run it through that. Well, that... Oh, even better.
Here we go.
Even better. So, yeah. Natter Jack!
Toad.
Nothing.
Natter Jack. What's happening there? Have you got, like, a voice-activated Nat Jack Toad?
No, I was quoting...
That would be cool.
..70s TV show.
Cracker Jack.
Music video. Hang on.
Well, this is certainly a low point of the show.
Well, there's been a few lulls.
Listening to someone just search for a video.
I think you're wrong. I think the tension is building up beautifully.
Here we go.
Hi, Tom.
We have it. Are we ready?
Tom, we'll go back to play a song that I laid down called Natter Jack Toad. It's a pretty sweet song. And it's about to get some pretty sweet radio play.
Ready for it? Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you the grace. That is the Natterjack Toad song.
Natterjack Toad, where are you? Natterjack Toad, here am I. Natterjack Toad, what we do? Natterjack Toad, Natterjack Toad, Natterjack Toad is my friend. Natterjack Toad's on the mend. Natterjack Toad, I love you. Natterjack Toad, Natterjack Toad, Natterjack Toad.
I mean, if that is not the sweetest song you've ever heard, then, you know.
It's up there, Stuart.
It's up there, isn't it?
It's up there.
I want to meet one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing about the song. It makes you want to meet one. It makes you want to befriend
the little
one.
Video that Gareth Moran did for it.
Gareth Moran did the video
I was not bothered about the song until I saw the video, and the video was like, it was just the perfect combination.
And
now I'm in. Now
sense.
I'm all in.
Yeah, yeah. That's
now,
fine.
Now, we've got another guest.
Oh, fuck guests. I've got... Don't need them. Don't need them. We've got. I've got this
Paul,
covered.
Paul, I think we do need them.
Yeah, no, we really do need them.
We really do need them.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give all the applause you can with the hands you can muster by going crazy for our guest, Tom Tuck, everybody. And we are slowly becoming the Steve Wright in the afternoon show. I am not impressed. Hello, Tom, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Paul.
What are you up to next door? I presume you're up to mischief.
Well, I've just been bending.
Elaborate.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes.
I declared myself the bendiest person in the room and invited any challengers.
You are really bendy.
I am bloody bendy, mate.
Yeah.
How did you discover your bendicity?
I don't recall.
Like, always had it?
Always had it, yes. My aunt showed me the lotus position.
Oh.
Which isn't a euphemism. And I could do...
Because I was only going to do the car gag at that point, to be honest. It was like, what do I
you
know about loads?
Car gag?
I don't know any.
Oh, congratulations, mate.
No, yeah, thanks.
But you went car gag.
No, I didn't. I backed out.
He wasn't going to do a car gag. He was going to
I considered
fail.
It. I considered it and pulled out.
Good.
You can now do any joke you like at this point. So, in terms of bendiness, were you defeated or did you reign supreme?
Undefeated. Of course, the challenge is still open. Until the end of the 27-hour show.
Can you do the crab thing, you know, where you bend backwards and do the...
Yes, oh. But I'm not...
No, you don't have to prove anything to
Yeah,
me.
No.
To be fair, it would be reasonably pointless on a podcast. Yeah.
Well, exactly. That was my next point of order.
Oh, well,
He's
I'm terribly
definitely
sorry.
Done it. He just did it. He did it three times.
Yeah.
He could do that.
And
quick.
In these shoes as well.
Fancy shoes. Yeah.
What about, is it every part of you that's bendy?
Mainly the hips. Mainly the hips.
Really?
That's where, that's not bad either.
That's where you want it.
That's where you want it, in the hips. That's where most people have their tightness.
Can I just ask,
easy
hips,
to give birth.
Do the hips lie?
Not from what I've understood.
No.
These hips don't.
Oh, God.
Those hips can't. those hips are tied to the truth forever.
I've got very truthful hips.
Yeah, I've always considered your truth. I fuck that.
My friend's wife can bend her fingers to touch back onto her hand.
No!
She has a very bad injury.
She's got dislocated fingers.
Yeah. Or do you think it's a bit like Riggs and Lethal Weapon, where it comes in handy for escapes?
Oh God!
Bash
you
the shoulder and dislocate.
Sort of 50 Shades of Grey.
Maybe. Does she have a red room?
I've not seen it.
I've not seen it.
I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it.
Fuck that film.
Whoa.
Well, you could argue part of the point.
Well,
you can't fuck a film these days.
Tie that film down.
You can if it's cling film. And you get enough layers.
You could if it was on VHS.
That is also
you'd have two options.
But that's what I mean these days. Why, I feel like no one's listening to me on this anymore. Five in the morning. I'm trying to tell you can't fuck films anymore. They're digital data. And you're going, oh, you can on VHS? Fucking hell.
If Richard Sanning was here...
I'll give you guys 10 minutes and I'm off.
He'd have something to say.
Richard's definitely fucked a film.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
We allegedly...
Oh, no.
Oh, you know this.
Yeah, he's done it.
Do you know what the film was?
All films.
All films.
Yeah, he's got Why do you think he's got 3,000 VHS? He's hit the floor of his house bows because of all of the. Yeah. And no man has that unless he's got. No man collects anything that many of something if he's not having sex with it. I will open that up to anyone who wants to. Anyone who's got a collection of things,
like philatelists.
Anything. If anyone's got over 2,000 of something,
I've got over 2,000 Magic the Gathering cards.
And how many times have you had sex with them?
Zero times.
See, it doesn't stand.
I've got over 2,000 7-inch singles.
If it doesn't stand up, maybe that's
but I have put my I have
what about
I have put my penis through the hole in the 7-inch
well that
single.
Counts that's sex right because I did that to
it
a girl
wasn't sexual.
That definitely counts.
What about the person who owns the terracotta armies
then has he
I think they're
are you
shared.
Accusing them of
I reckon
there's a pot that people put their name in and once every few months they pull it out and someone gets to fuck the terracotta
on. No, it's not big enough hole, it's just showering jizz across them.
Yeah. Oh, so it's an equal spread of the wealth.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to open that up. I believe spray. If anyone has got 2,000 of something, they've at least sprayed jism on them.
This is exactly what conversation at 10 to 5 in the morning should sound like. You know, it really should sound like lots of loose sentences hanging together on a feeble thought.
Tom, how's the audience doing next door? Are they
quite all right, actually. We were flagging a bit before the bending, but that really, really picked it up, yeah. Because they were all rooting for Jake. Stupid child.
Jake didn't
Jake is.
He didn't
stand
a chance.
He does sound stupid. Well, obviously, yeah. Tom's picked an issue with this Jake.
I hate Jake.
I don't care about Jake anymore. He's out. Someone came and had a cigarette when I was having a cigarette after my bending and said, my flatmate's a gymnast. If she's back from Singapore, she's coming to beat you.
Wow.
Which all is the parameters. The weirdest threat I've ever heard.
And there's the number of hoops you have to go through to make that a proper threat as well. It's like, well, first of all, she's got to be here. Secondly, she's got to be in the country. I've got to talk her into it.
It's like you can only be the champion. You can only beat what's put in front of you, can't
exactly
you? So you're the champion. Yeah. It's all very well saying, you know, that she's going to come from Singapore and beat you. But if she doesn't get here from Singapore, then yeah. you are...
Or if she's got deep vein thrombosis.
Exactly.
Here's yeah. hoping.
Or brittle bone.
Or perhaps she's simply not more bendy than you.
Yeah.
You know, she's
well,
simply...
He's
too many options. Too many options.
I think you've got a good chance of keeping your belt for this one. So, you know...
Do you
we'll
get
see.
A belt for it?
I actually took my belt off to do the bending.
Oh, yeah, really? It's an optional extra to have it on or off.
If anyone beats me, I will give them my belt.
There you go.
Can you confirm that it's definitely true?
Yeah, sure, why not? It's my belt.
That's locked down. No. You just have to hand over this belt.
You got all your songs nailed in, or can I put a request in?
You can add a request. If we've got it on the system, or we can find it on YouTube, I'm guessing we can do it. What do you fancy?
Because we're coming up to the hour.
Songs? Is there a song about bending?
Just a song I'm fundamentally obsessed with. It's If It Wasn't for the Nights by ABBA from the album Voulez-Vous.
Really?
ABBA album track there.
Yeah.
Smash it.
Before you make your final decision, I believe... I'll confirm this, but Natty Jack Toad is also available for a second play. It's it's up to you, but I'm just making sure you know that it can be played twice.
Cool.
So I guess we all get a go. So
and again, Natty Jack Toad can be three. Or, yeah, don't feel restricted by number of plays.
Have you registered it with PRS?
Not yet.
Well, then you should not be encouraging plays until you have done so.
Guys, just give me the cash.
Yeah, you could be the next Rebecca Black Friday.
I would love to be that.
Yeah, someone's got to be the next Rebecca Black. It could be you.
I think that Comic Relief are going to end up paying you most of the money they earn tonight for royalties for your song.
Yep.
Does anyone know who's doing the official Comic Relief song this year?
It's me.
It's not a direct
Yeah.
Feet Elton John.
Yeah. He comes in and does a rap.
And obviously to make it sell, Peter Kay's got to dance behind you and pull focus.
Yeah, I'm less happy about that, but
you've got to make compromises.
Yeah. And it's all about making the money, right?
It's all about donating to Comic Relief.
And how can they do that, Paul?
he's fucking giving out.
Yeah, you do know
he's
how to.
Fucking giving
you've got that written down. You've got that written down.
In front of you, Paul.
Stay with us,
come
Paul.
On, come on, Paul.
Text Mark to 70005
great.
To donate £5.
Good you one. Can type this very long website into your internet machine and give any money you can to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/geekatorium27podcast or go to foodballradio.com or geekatorium.net and all the links are there. You've got no excuse other than your simple cruelty and hatred of the poor and destitute. It really is that simple.
You just stop making sense completely.
I know. I have been talking for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours at this point.
I've been talking a lot.
Not that much.
I've gone out of fuck.
All you've
times.
Done is write down the things I fucked up saying and then quoted them back at your glee.
My pretty ignorance good, proved me wrong.
Yeah,
still
well,
on
Nick Revel was on my side about that, so.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
We, he would be.
Before yeah. we hit the hour,
yeah.
could I just give a shout out to someone who's down in the other room doing a challenge, Sean McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Doing 27 hours of playing Football Manager.
Oh, is he?
Oh, is he doing that?
Clever bastard.
He is a real.
But that's a fun game. I mean,
yeah, well, non-stop.
You say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 9 years clean at the moment.
I'm 3 years. 3 years.
Really?
I went back to it recently.
Oh, I'm
I,
so sorry, man. You're right.
What happened was I bought the latest game and I had an hour show to write and I said, right, I'm not going to play any computer games until the show's written.
Of course, that's what we always say.
And as soon as the show's written, I'm back in. I'm Paris Saint-Germain. It's been, I've lost, you know, my girlfriend thinks I'm upstairs writing. I'm not. I'm Paris Manager. Because now you can play on any computer. You just log in on the internet and you can play your game. It's ridiculous.
Well, on any device you like, you're just there.
On a computer, but yeah.
Sean because the sort of iOS and Android versions aren't great.
No, not real. They don't count, do they?
They don't even have determination as a stat, and who wants that?
Nobody does. Nobody
I mean, how
does.
Are you going to tell if you're buying a 16-year-old, if he's not got a determination stat, whether he's going to flake in the reserves or
you
not?
You just can't exactly. tell, I suppose.
You're absolutely right. There's not a proper scouting network.
See, I remember when I took Oxford to the Champions League.
Oh, boy.
Oh, happy days. Tell me about it.
So these two Argentinian players, Matteo Musaccio, and what was the other fella? Zuccolini.
Did you have one? Was any of them? Because I've got a couple of Brazilian guys. As you know yourself, they can be a little bit volatile, the Brazilians, can't they? So I've got one guy who I signed. He got sent off on his debut, but he's got so much talent. Mm. I've got to try and nurture him through, but I just don't know that he's.
Here you go, Tom. Here's a little back and forth. I took Cambridge United to the Champions League.
Oh, you Ooh. Guys.
Cambridge-Oxford rates there.
Mm. Yeah. And what Sean, year did you do it in, do you know?
So that must have been the 2006 game?
So
maybe 2005 game.
How far into it, I mean, did
so
you?
So 8 seasons to get to the Champions League final?
Oh,
9
wow.
seasons, maybe?
I don't remember how many seasons. This was Champions Manager 2, 97-98. So this was a little bit, and then after that... was Crystal Manor.
So Sean,
it took me 12 seasons to win
challenge.
The
Sean's doing the challenge 26 minutes ago.
That's pretty impressive.
26 minutes ago, Sean McLaughlin just got fired from his job. So
what?
He's convinced he's going to spend the next 20 hours unemployed.
Searching for a job.
Look, he's
who
already.
Is that an aspect of the game? You can still be playing, but you've
yeah.
just.
Yeah, yeah, you just wait. You're applying for jobs. He was managing a League Two team. I can't remember. Newport County, maybe.
I've dribbled.
Got fired. He applied for the Portsmouth job.
Football, so.
Didn't get the Portsmouth job, and he's just tweeted a thing saying, worth a shot, and a screenshot of Man United job application unsuccessful.
I woke my girlfriend up to tell her I'd been fired once. after 8 years at Liverpool, we're going to have to... I think we're going to be moving. I think we're going to be moving away from the area. It's a disaster. Well, I won the European Champion. Like I divorced this woman eventually, but I played Football Manager in bed, and we lost the World Cup final. I was England manager, and we lost the World Cup final on penalties. And I turned to her and just said, like, oh, it's been a disaster. I've just lost the World Cup final. And she told me to grow up.
They just don't know.
I genuinely think that might have been the end, the beginning of the end of my marriage.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
She went, grow up.
It's great to laugh about it now.
I don't think
we can all look back.
I don't think that this is going to work between us because I'm a little bit emotional about this.
Football. I don't know anything about it.
No, you certainly don't. Are we coming up to the hour now?
We are. And for anyone interested, comedian Joseph Wilson has just sent me a text saying he's listening and he's with a woman and he couldn't get it up. So if anyone else would like to help Joseph Wilson arouse...
Do you reckon he plays Football Manager?
I don't think he has the focus.
He doesn't have
to do anything other than basic, simple admin.
Well, if he does, listen to these stats.
Yeah. Okay.
Strength 17.
Oh, that's good.
Positioning 19.
Oh, wow, this guy's...
Stamina 16. Yep, determination 19. Age 21.
What a love machine.
He's just a love machine. And
what position?
Sign him up, build the team around him.
Centre
build the
team back, around him. Slotting in at the rear.
Stop talking about sport.
Football Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge. Raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. Fubar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.